This is 5 in 10, 5 topics in about 10 minutes for June 29th, 2020 from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, security for me, but not for thee. That's the Minneapolis City Council, which voted unanimously Friday to advance a new proposal to create a new Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention, ostensibly to replace the police department there. Not sure how they're going to get around the city charter, which requires a police department, but setting that aside, this new department would or could include a division that includes licensed peace officers, but it does not require the city council to do so. It's unclear how many, if any, current police officers would retain their jobs. Now, three members of the Minneapolis City Council, while this is going on, now being protected by private security at a cost to the city of Minneapolis of $4,500 per day. This is to protect council members Andrea Jenkins, Phillips Cunningham, and Alondra Kano, who say they've received threats since announcing their support for dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department. A spokesperson for the city said this has cost the city about $63,000 over the past 3 weeks and that it's necessary because Minneapolis police are required on the streets because of ongoing unrest and possibly because Minneapolis police officers might not be real motivated to protect these three city council people who want to get rid of their jobs. Meanwhile, liberals on social media have been triggered by a gun-toting pair of attorneys in St. Louis who stood guard outside their mansion in a gated community in the city's wealthy Central West End on Sunday. Supporters of the protest criticized the response to people on a public sidewalk, except that the sidewalk's not public. Video posted by protesters show them walking through a gate into the gated community. Sign clearly posted said, "Admittance to residents only." Well, in Missouri, the Castle Doctrine laws here specify that residents can use deadly force against intruders based on the notion that your home is your castle. Missouri's law is a little more extensive than in many other states. It allows homeowners to use deadly force to attack an intruder, to protect any private property you own or to protect yourself or another individual. This means if someone illegally enters your front porch or backyard, you can use deadly force against them without retreating first. Now, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not qualified to give legal advice, but it seems to me that by entering the private property of this street, the protesters were essentially on the front porch of the couple involved, who'd been identified as attorneys Mark and Patricia McCloskey, who engaged in a shouting match with the protesters, waving what appeared to be an AR-15 and a pistol, although it must be said using terrible muzzle and trigger discipline, but thankfully no one hurt. But calls went out almost immediately to dox the McCloskeys. You know, doxing is the practice of disclosing personal information, making it public so that the public can then turn and threaten the people involved. First call came out from a self-proclaimed anti-racism executive coach from Kansas City by the name of Kyle Dennis. The fact that I know his name is because the internet immediately turned on him and doxed him as well. He has now locked down his Twitter account. You need permission if you want to see his tweets. Topic number 4, COVID-19. The virus behind COVID-19 has proven itself to be even creepier than we thought. It causes infected cells to sprout tentacles, which then poke holes in neighboring cells and inject the virus into those cells, thereby turning those cells into factories to produce more copies of SARS-CoV-2, the virus behind COVID-19. This fuel for nightmares, discovered by researchers at the University of California, San Francisco. Most viruses don't cause infected cells to do this, and even those that do, like the smallpox virus, don't create as many or the same type of what are called phylopodia. Again, creepy. So as of this recording, the confirmed number of cases around the world, now more than 10 million, more than 500,000 confirmed deaths from COVID-19. And although we're seeing a surge in new cases each day here in the United States, the number of new deaths each day continues to decline. So why does the media continue to push the second wave meme? Prepare for a second wave of... Let me offer a possible answer. could be political. Consider that without COVID-19 panic, Democrats can't easily achieve mail-in voting, something they desperately need to win elections in battleground states that President Trump carried in 2016. Without COVID-19 panic, Democrats can't shut down the rallies for President Trump, thereby highlighting the differences between an energetic Donald Trump and a politically, or rather physically, fragile and mentally compromised Joe Biden. Without COVID-19 panic, Democrats don't have an excuse for canceling the DNC convention in Milwaukee, thereby shutting down a potential challenge from Bernie Sanders supporters. Without COVID-19 panic, Democrats can't keep economies, state economies, shut down, because good economic news would only benefit the orange man bad. And without COVID-19 panic, Democrats can't keep Joe Biden in the basement. Now, I don't say this with any joy. Joe Biden should be allowed to gracefully retire, or he should have been allowed to gracefully retire. But if and when these debates take place, the difference in the mental agility between Donald Trump and Joe Biden will become apparent. It won't be fun to watch. One more thing. Gilead Sciences has announced the pricing plans for its drug Remdesivir, originally intended to treat Ebola and Marburg virus, now being tested against COVID-19. They're going to charge hospitals here in the U.S. $520 per dose, a typical treatment for a patient with commercial insurance, about $3,120. Hydroxychloroquine, on the other hand, available now at your neighborhood pharmacy for between 40 and 50 cents a tablet, and even less if you have a coupon. Just saying. Topic number three, Iran. Multiple videos emerged online toward the end of last week showing what appeared to be a huge fireball in the night sky Thursday over the desert southwest of Tehran, southeast of Tehran, about 20 miles southeast of Tehran. Military spokesman said to reporters that it was a gas storage facility. It's just an accident that a gas storage facility. But satellite images appeared to have identified a burned area in the hills near the Khojur missile production complex. This is especially relevant as tensions between Iran and Israel in the United States very high. Former Israeli Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said that Iran and Hezbollah, backed by Iran, are pushing Israel to the brink of war. In an interview with Israel's national Hebrew language daily newspaper Ma'ariv on Friday, the former defense minister said that Iran's possessing enriched uranium at 8 times the permitted amount, according to the nuclear agreement, is something that may lead to a conflict here with Israel very soon. Lieberman further charged that Hezbollah is now building a precision missile factory in Lebanon. In response, Israel has been intensifying attacks against Iranian positions in Syria recently, with multiple attacks per month inside the borders of Syria. Topic number two. Persecution in Israel. A Messianic Jewish congregation in Ashdod has won a court case against the Israeli anti-evangelism organization Yad Lachim. The court issued a restraining order against members of Yad Lachim for harassing Jewish believers in Jesus and trying to prevent them from attending worship services Bet Hillel congregation. It's about 350 worshipers there. I talked with Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, or exchanged emails with him actually, earlier today about this story. Yad Lachim has been targeting his ministry as well. He said the interesting thing about this is that the courts, the judges in Israel's courts, tend to be atheistic or very secular in their worldview. And so they're not sympathetic toward the Haredim, the Orthodox Jews who make up organizations like Yad Lachim. So in a sense, God is using atheists to spread the gospel in Israel. Now, while that's going on, Israel has decided to pull the plug on a new channel from God TV. The Shalanu channel, Hebrew language channel, is being shut down because it failed to disclose its evangelical missionary agenda, according to local regulators on Sunday. That began airing programs at the end of April as part of a 7-year deal. It's going to stop broadcasting this week. God TV, one of the largest Christian television networks on the planet, said it was disappointed by the council's decision and plans to reapply for a license. This could be part of a larger diplomatic problem between Israel and the United States, because evangelical American Christians are some of Israel's biggest supporters, and people who oppose the anti-Semitic movement around the world, the BDS movement, and other anti-Israel sentiments. So it's kind of a tightrope. Yes, we support Israel, but we also have to recognize that Israel officially opposes preaching the gospel inside its borders. Coming up, crossing the Rubicon of ridiculous. That's next on 5 and 10.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
And item number one today, we have gotten to a point where we're just in the silly season. The internet is literally debating the way orcs are portrayed in fantasy games now, specifically Dungeons and Dragons. Some fans object to using the word race to describe orcs and elves and trolls and dwarves and goblins, etc., since these differences in their characters are genetic. They argue the word species would be more appropriate than races. Dungeons and Dragons players actually going so far as to analyze the guidelines of how these characters are described in the gameplay instructions, pointing out that language describing orcs as lower intelligence, more violent, can only be domesticated with difficulty, always have bloodlust just beneath the surface. One game designer and cultural consultant is that a real job description? Game designer and cultural consultant wrote a comprehensive analysis of such language and said that it is problematic that J.R.R. Tolkien, who essentially defined the races for what has been part of the fantasy realm since the 1940s, that he described orcs in letters as, quote, degraded and repulsive versions of the, to Europeans, least lovely Mongol types, end quote. In other words, Tolkien actually had other human races in mind when he was actually, if you read the Silmarillion, the backstory behind the world of Tolkien, orcs were twisted elves who were angelic characters. In other words, they were like demons. Their problem with their character is spiritual, not the fact that they have colored skin. The creators of Dungeons & Dragons, Wizards of the Coast, say they are going to address these concerns. The company says it will downplay biological essentialism in future releases of the game. It would also emphasize diverse hiring. Okay, number one, it's a game. Get over it. And number two, maybe we should be discussing the wisdom of teaching children to cast spells in a game format. And then there's this, and sadly this comes from the real world. The Houston Association of Realtors will no longer use the word master to describe bedrooms and bathrooms in multiple listing service listings because the word master brings up uncomfortable comparisons to slavery in the 19th century, which ended 160 years ago. So that begs some questions. Is Gordon Ramsay going to become a primary chef instead of, because primary will be the new word now, primary bedroom, primary bathroom. Gordon Ramsay now, no longer a master chef, but a primary chef. The computer industry will change the terms with which it uses, you know, hard drives, master and slave, primary and secondary. The PGA will become the primaries tournament instead of the masters. Warner Brothers will revise the movie Mad Max so that the ruler of Bartertown will be primary blaster instead of master blaster. What about master's degrees? Got an MBA? Yeah, it'll be a PBA. We'll have to work that out with the pro bowlers. Master cylinders, master recordings. And what about, the big charge card? Primary card? Enjoy the old language while you can, but just remember, we've always been at war with East Asia. Well, next conference on the schedule, the Sons of God Giants of Old Conference, coming up in July, July 17th and 18th. I had committed to being there, but then can't get away because we'll be recording new programs here at SkyWatch TV. I will, however, be recording a presentation for this conference. Here's a clue as to the topic. Other speakers, the Sons of God Giants of Old Conference, include Dr. Mike Heiser, Dr. Judd Burton, Dr. Doug Hamp, Dr. Aaron Judkins, Dr. Greg Reed. I'm not sure how I made this list. Joe Taylor, curator of the Mont Blanco Fossil Museum, and me. This is the admission to the conference, which will be held at the Fellowship in Lubbock, Texas, pastored by Pastor Dan Crestman. The Fellowship Church in Lubbock, Texas, only $10. To find out more and to reserve your place, log on to burtonbeyond.com, burtonbeyond.com. SkyWatch TV's conference, as you saw, now virtual. We've added more speakers. For more information and to sign up, log on to defenderconference.com, defenderconference.com. And our SkyWatch TV tour of Israel. Because of tour or travel restrictions this fall, no confirmation yet as to when we can get back to Israel, but we should be able to do it by next spring. We're praying that's the case anyway. April 18th through May 1st, we will travel around the Holy Land with our special guests, Donna Howell and Allie Anderson Henson, and Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat. This is a tour like no other. Check out the sample itinerary and see where we're going online, skywatchinisrael.com. That's skywatchinisrael.com. This week, our broadcast program is the big announcement about the SkyWatch TV Defender Conference, the changes therein, and also progress on the new studio. We are weeks away now, weeks away from completing it, but we need your help to do it. You'll find our broadcast schedule online for the over-the-air program at skywatchtv.com/channels. But of course, you can watch it right now if you've got the SkyWatch TV channel on Roku, Apple TV, or Amazon Fire TV, and we have instructions on how to add the channel to your set-top box in the top menu bar there at skywatchtv.com. You can also download our programs directly to your smartphone or tablet. Not only our programs, audio and video, all of our web-exclusive content and news the mainstream media wants to filter out so that you never see it. We'll send it right to your smartphone or tablet, whether it's iOS, Android, or Amazon Kindle Fire tablet, and we've got links to the app stores for the free mobile app at skywatchtv.com. You'll find all of my stuff posted at gilberthouse.org. It's where Sharon and I post our weekly Bible study audio program going back more than 5 years. We've been through the entire Bible once already, and we're taking our second run through it right now, so it's a good time to join us. You'll find all of that at gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.